Now, whenever you read Psalm 27, verse 1, you read there, "The Lord is my light." And then you'll read, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Now, keep that in mind. And picture yourself coming to the veil of the holy place. You're one of the priests of Israel in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you're coming to the veil, and you're about to go into the holy place where you have the altar of incense, and you've got the candlestick, and you've got the table of showbread. So you pull back the veil, and you go in. And on your left, you'll see the candlestick. And we spoke last Thursday night about the candlestick. And on your right, you'll see the table of showbread. Now, what has Psalm 27 got to do with that? Well, the Lord is my light. That's the candlestick. The Lord Jesus Christ is our light. Whenever we think about the candlestick, we think about how the Lord is our light. The psalmist quoted that time and time again. Time and again he said, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light." So every time you think about the candlestick, remember, the Lord is your light. But then the psalmist went on to say, "The Lord is the strength of my life." The strength of my life. You see, there's another lovely verse in Psalm 104, and it speaks about bread strengthening man's heart. Bread strengthening man's heart. Now, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The Savior himself said that. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." So whenever we think about the words of the psalmist and we remember that Jesus is the bread of life, here's the conclusion we come to. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us strength. He's the bread of life. Just as in the book of Psalms, it tells us that bread strengthens man's heart. In other words, bread strengthens the body physically. That's why we eat bread every day. I'm sure we eat it every day. You have your toast, you have your sandwiches. Bread's one of the most common foods. And there's good reason why we like it. There's good reason why people eat it. It's because it strengthens man's heart. The Lord Jesus Christ strengthens you and me for the battles of life. He strengthens you and me for the trials of life. You see, if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for our Savior, we would go under. We wouldn't be able to cope. We couldn't carry the burdens of life. We just wouldn't be able to deal with them. It's as simple as that. But it's good tonight to remember as we come to the place of prayer, and even tonight as we feel our weakness and we say, "Lord, I can't even pray. Lord, I'm so weak when it comes to the prayer meeting." Jesus says, "I'm the one who strengthens you, for I'm the bread of life." Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's one of my favorite verses. "I can do all things through Christ." That's not all of it. "Which strengtheneth me." He's the bread of life. He's the staff of our spiritual life. Without him, we go to pieces. I'm so glad that a spiritual weakling like me has someone to provide strength. Yes, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Thank God for the bread. And as the priest went in and looked over to the right of the holy place, this is what he saw. He saw the table, the beautiful gold table, There's the crown around it, speaking of the crown that's upon the Saviour's brow in glory now, that a royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. But no doubt the priest noticed the bread. The bread, you see, was the main object on this table. I've already spoken about how bread strengthens, but there's some other thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight. You see, whenever we think about bread in the Scriptures, there's certain thoughts that come to us. Here's the first one, sin. Sin. See, if you turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, Genesis 3:19, we read of bread. Here's the first reference to bread in the Bible. Keep in mind tonight that we're thinking about the showbread. We're thinking about the bread on the table. And here's the first mention of bread in the Bible. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Adam and Eve had disobeyed the Lord. They had transgressed the law of God. And the Lord was pronouncing the curse. Now, he didn't pronounce the curse upon Adam and Eve. The curse was upon the ground. And the Lord here, he says that in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. The curse has come because of sin. But you know, isn't it amazing that so often in the Saviour's life you read of bread. Bread. Time and again, bread is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we forget about that night whenever the Saviour sat down with his disciples and it tells us in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He took bread. You see, it's just as if he was taking your curse and my curse. The curse that came upon the world in Genesis chapter 3. It's just as if Jesus was taking that curse upon himself. My, when we think about Genesis 3, we think of the first reference to bread. No, we think of the curse. We think of how this creation, this universe has been cursed ever since. But thank God tonight for the one who took the curse. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. We think of sin. We think of sadness. You see, bread is associated with sadness in the Bible. Do you know that the Bible speaks in Psalm 80 of the bread of tears? The bread of tears. In Psalm 127, it speaks there of the bread of sorrows. The bread of sorrows. Bread is connected with sadness. You know, the children of the Lord often experience sadness. We often have to face up to sorrows and bereavement and mourning. And my, we're often cast down, isn't that right? Some people have the idea, oh, if you're a Christian, you walk around with a Colgate grin on your face every day. That's not the case. Well, thank God we can rejoice. We've got joy. Yes, we've joy unspeakable and full of glory, but it doesn't mean that you go around with a big wide grin every day. Not at all. We often experience sadness. We often experience sorrow. Oh, whenever we read of bread in Scripture, it speaks of sin. It speaks of sadness. Then it speaks of the Sabbath. There's a connection with the Sabbath. We're thinking tonight about the showbread. And you see, the showbread was replaced every Sabbath. Now that's very interesting and it's very important. The priests had the duty every Sabbath of going into the holy place and replacing the loaves. There were 12 loaves. Those loaves were arranged in two rows of six. Now, I know that that's not the way it is in this picture. You've got the two piles here in the picture. But in the Scriptures, it says that the bread, the show bread, was to be in two rows of six upon that table. The Lord specified that's the way it was to be. Remember, every aspect of the tabernacle is according to his pattern. It's according to his desires. Reminding us, as I said before, that we can't just come and worship God any way we like. The Lord has laid it down in his word the way that he's to be worshipped. People today think that they can just come any old way, worship God whatever way we want. You know, just whatever notion takes me. Whatever way I feel like expressing my worship, I'll just do that. Well, that's not what the Lord says. That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures teach that it's got to be according to his will. You know, God isn't the boy next door that we can just worship any way we like and approach him any way we like and just skip into his presence. No, the Lord is holy. And there are certain ways to worship him. But we think of the Sabbath day. It was the day whenever the showbread was replaced. The priests would go into the holy place, and one of their duties was to take away the bread that was on the table, the bread that had been on the table for 7 days, and they were to put fresh bread on the table. What did they do with the bread that they took off the table? They ate it. They ate it. And they ate it on the Sabbath day. Surely that speaks to us of the importance of being found in the house of God on the Sabbath day. Surely it speaks of the importance of feeding on the bread of life on the Sabbath day. We're spiritual priests, and we can feed on the spiritual bread. I know we can feed on the bread of life any day of the week, and we can feed on it. We're doing it tonight in the prayer meeting. Any day of the week. But I believe that there's a special blessing on the Sabbath day. See, that's why Sabbath worship is so important. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We're to meet together. We're to feed upon the bread. Some people say, you know, two services on a Sunday. Too much. I don't agree. You couldn't come often enough to the house of God on a Sunday. Why do I say that? Because we're so weak. Because we're so weak and we need to come often to the Lord's house to be strengthened by the bread of life. We're so weak and we're just cannon fodder for the devil unless we're often in the house of God finding strength for the battle. See, the reason why people don't come to the house of the Lord, especially those who profess the name of Christ, the reason they don't come often is because they don't realize their weakness. Don't feel their weakness. If you feel your weakness, if you realize how frail you are without Christ, then I tell you, you'll be in the house of God and you'll be there often as you possibly can. Sin, sadness, the Sabbath. I want to finish off tonight. We've already spoken about strength, but then think about the main thought that comes to us tonight as we think of the bread. It has to be the Savior. The Savior. I've already said tonight that bread is intimately associated with his life. Think about where he was born. O little town of Bethlehem. We're going to be singing that carol before long. You know what Bethlehem means? The house of bread. The house of bread. Of bread. We have read tonight in Leviticus 24 about how the priests were to pour frankincense on the bread. What did the wise men bring? They brought the frankincense to the bread of life. We've read tonight that passage, how we read there in Mark 2 about David. David went into the house of the Lord and he ate the showbread. He had no right to eat it. He wasn't a priest. But Jesus, the Lord of glory, he spoke about David eating the showbread. David had no right to eat the showbread. The showbread was reserved for the priests. But here's the point that Jesus was making. David was hungry. The two words that I would use to describe what Jesus was trying to say to the Pharisees that day is common sense. Common sense. Yes, the law stated that David shouldn't eat the bread, but David was starving, and the men that were with him were starving. And thank God for the Lord and his wonderful grace. You see, the grace of God stepped into that situation and allowed David and his men to eat the showbread. Common sense prevailed. Common sense is a wonderful thing. My, there's not too much of it about nowadays. And you know, in a lot of churches, there's not much of it about. But I tell you, the one thing that should mark any church is common sense. The one thing that should mark the leadership of any church is common sense. Oh, that God would enable those in leadership in our congregation to have that common sense, or as old Tom Cross used to say, sanctified common sense. My, it's a precious thing. You've heard the saying, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly use. That's true. There's some people, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly use. They have their heads in the clouds and they just don't have any common sense. May the Lord bless us as his people with common sense. So we think tonight of the miracles of the Savior. We think of how he fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. We think of how he met with the disciples on the shore of Galilee after his resurrection, and he gave them bread. We think tonight about the Lord's Supper and how he broke bread, the symbol of his broken body. So often bread is associated with our blessed Savior. You know, we sung that great hymn earlier. We taste thee, O thou living bread. We have tasted of him. And whenever you taste of Christ, you can't forget it. There's something special about it. You know, sometimes when you get a delicious meal and you say, oh my, isn't that delicious? And you don't forget about the taste. Well, spiritually speaking, whenever we taste of Christ, not the church, I'm not talking about the church or religion. I'm speaking tonight about tasting of Christ. Whenever you taste him, my, it's wonderful. And your soul is filled with peace and joy and satisfaction. Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.